Now, it is election time, ladies and gentlemen and listeners out there. The European elections, the local elections, there's referendums and all God knows what else. But this year, there are 23 candidates for the Ireland South constituency. Now, Professor Dolores Kahl is a scientist and academic for over 20 years working in Germany at the Max Planck Institute and also in Ireland. Over 20 years ago, she co-founded a biomedical spin-out company from the Max Planck called Protogen AG in Dortmund, Germany. Professor Kahl has been involved in scientific and research evaluations and also science and innovation strategy and policy development for over 10 years in Ireland, Germany, Sweden and the EU, including as a member of the Irish Government's Advisory Science Council. Now, Dolores is running as an independent candidate. And all this week on Drive Time, we are interviewing candidates that are running from political parties or from none. And today it is Dolores Kahl, and she joins me on the line. And I'm delighted to welcome her to the programme. Dolores, good evening.
Great, good evening. Thank you for calling me.
Listen, absolute pleasure to have you on. And as I said, we've been interviewing different candidates all this week. We'll be doing the same next week. Now, Dolores, as I said in the introduction, look, you're a scientist, you're an academic for over 20 years. Now you've decided to enter the fray of politics. What has been the draw to jump from science and, you know, the academic world into the world of politics?
So I suppose there's a number of reasons. So because I have benefited from the EU in my companies and in my academic life, and my area of research has been to develop early diagnostic tests for autoimmune diseases. So in order to keep people healthy, so away from medication, so that they're aware their symptoms are associated with the disease and they can make lifestyle changes. But in the course of setting up the company 20 years ago, I have had to comply with EU regulations, which are the laws that control the European Union. And also in my role as government advisory, and I'm vice chair of the EU Innovative Medicines Initiative. But when you get into the EU laws that are superior to Irish laws, there are tens and hundreds of thousands of these regulations, and they are not coherent, so they contradict each other. And I've spent about the last 6 or 7 years looking really into how the EU works, and I have determined that being in the European Union is a drag to small businesses and farmers to comply with all of these regulations, and that being in the EU impacts a lot of our societal everyday life, such as around banking and pension and employment law. And if you're a farmer or a small business owner, over regulation. And I think that there needs to be a voice in Ireland for people to say, maybe we should look at the European Union again and how it actually impacts our everyday life, and think maybe we'd be better off out of the EU, and to have some party, so I'm a chairwoman of Irish Freedom Party, to try and develop the policies for what would happen if we were to get out, and to kind of move the discussion on, because all of the other political parties are very pro the European Union.
Now, it is... only right to point out to listeners that you are the chairperson of the Irish Freedom Party, which would be going down the road of an Irish exit. But Dolores, you know, you're talking about the negatives of Europe, but let's look at our friends across the water and Brexit. And I think people are sick to death of hearing of Brexit anymore, but it's still coming down the track. Isn't it true that the likes of Nigel Farage and others sold people, a bag of untruths and mistruths of how rosy the garden was going to be when they left Europe?
I suppose that's hard to know which you would say, because I think a lot of the discussion has been on the economic level in relation to Brexit. But I think that people voted to get out of the European Union more so for issues around independence and sovereignty and democracy. So what people are realizing now, and what I've only realized in the last, let's say, 10 years, is that we were sold the idea of the European Union and all the discussions on the treaties, that we were entering a common market, and it was around the economics. But what people have creepingly realized over the last 10 years, particularly since Lisbon, is that the European Union law and their regulations are superior to Irish law. So that really our politicians, if we have an issue around banking or homelessness or health, that actually our laws, and if we want to change things in Ireland, we simply cannot do. And so we now have kind of a country that is bobbing in the water rudderless because we have to just live by the laws that are enacted for all of the 27, 28 member states. And we don't have really any flexibility to rule our own lives. So I think why people voted for Brexit and why I have now become to the conclusion that Ireland is better off out of the EU is just that Ireland would be better off to be an independent country where we make our own laws. And really that's what they fought for in 1916, was to have elect the people that make our laws. And if we don't like them, we can get rid of them. Whereas in the European Union, all of the commissioners and presidents and European Commission are unelected. So we have no real control over the laws. We don't elect the people that make our laws. So I think what people voted for, I think, was around democracy and sovereignty, even though there was a lot of discussion about how many millions would go into the health service.
Now, Dolores, I mean, I will go back to 1973 when Ireland became a member of the then European Economic Community. I think a lot of people, when they were joining that whole idea, that project, it was based on economic, progress and working with our partners around Europe from an economic perspective. And yes, Europe has become something a lot different than what was first kind of envisaged at the time. But we depend on Europe here in Ireland. We depend on Europe for trade. I know we depend on the UK for our trade as well. But if we were to come out of Europe in the morning, I mean, who are we going to trade with? Freedom of movement, freedom of people. There is an argument there, yes, that the EU needs reform. But if we were to leave Europe in the morning, I mean, we're going to lose jobs. It's going to be a frightening time.
So I suppose, so in the United Kingdom, for example, in their trade, only 6% of the United Kingdom's trade is actually with the European Union. So for them, it makes a lot of sense, because if you're an SME in the United Kingdom, you still have to comply with all of the EU regulations, even though you might never trade. So when you come to Ireland, so part of the reason why we're involved in Irish Freedom Party is for the post-Brexit scenario. So when the United Kingdom leaves the European Union, the majority of our trade will be outside of the European Union and the majority will be outside the euro. And also there will be issues about then the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland not being in the European Union, and we will have to address those issues. And I have looked into it. On balance, I think we would then be better off if the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland are out. It makes really no sense for Irish small businesses and farmers to be in the euro or within the European Union, since the majority of our trade will be outside of the European Union.
But the next question I would have then, Dolores, with the greatest of respect, running to be a member of the European Union, an MEP, but wanting to get out of Europe, doesn't really marry together, does it?
No, that's a really good comment. So I suppose what I would say is Daniel O'Connell or whatever, when he was deciding for Ireland to be independent from the British Empire, he actually went and became elected and became a member of Parliament. So what I would say is if I was in the European Parliament, I would be constructive. So when I was on the Irish Government Advisory Science Council, I was able to address issues and share and solve problems with, say, around researcher careers or sustainability of research institutes, and the same when I work in the European Union. So what I would be trying to do as an elected member of the European Parliament is to constructively, would say, which I have been trying to do for the last 10 years within the EU, is have regulatory coherence. So, for example, if you're a farmer, you can be inspected by multiple regulatory agents from the European Union without any warning. It's the same if you're a small business. So what you would want would be some notice or some way that the various regulators within the European Union are coherent when they're dealing with the farmer or with a small business, which they're not. So, but I think the main reason would be that there is another banking crisis coming down the tracks. So Italy is in depression, and it's well recognized that Italy cannot pay the interest on its loans. So the European Union, in the banking crisis that happened to Italy and Greece in 2008-09-10, have not solved the problem. And the European Central Bank has just doubled the printing in quantitative easing of the amount of euros between 2015 and 2018. And that leads to an issue around hyperinflation and that the value of the euro. And even at very low interest rates, countries like Italy and Greece are still in depression and recession. And Greece has also had 3 months of zero growth. So the European Union is the only continent in the world that hasn't been growing in the last 10 years. And a lot of this has to do with the owner's regulation and the fact that the ECB and the euro is actually not backed by anything and that they're not dealing with the issues of huge debt in eurozone countries.
Dolores, not to cut across you, one of the issues that I hear from my colleagues over in, particularly in London in the UK, they say that one of the main reasons that people voted to leave the EU was on the whole area of immigration and open borders. Would the Irish Freedom Party have, what is your thought process on the borders in Ireland? Obviously, you don't want to get a hard border in between north and south, but the whole area of immigration and citizenship, where are you on that?
What I would be, my main focus is around returning democracy and sovereignty. So then if Ireland was a, so at the moment, because we're in the EU, we have to have freedom of movement. And so as regards migration, the Irish state cannot do that. That's part of the freedoms of being within the European Union. So one of the things is if Ireland was an independent democratic state, then Ireland could develop its own migration policies, and then whatever parties would come along and the Irish people would decide if they wanted to have immigration policy like Australia or Canada and that they wanted to look for specific professions. So one of the things though, about freedom of movement, for example, I was in Bulgaria and met somebody from Hungary last week, and they're saying that all their young people are going to the wealthier countries. So a Hungarian professor told me a full professor in Hungary now will only earn 20,000 euros a year. And so he was able to tell me what the social welfare benefits were in Ireland. And he was saying you actually can get more money on a very low-level job in Ireland or in other European countries. And so there's a brain drain. And in Lithuania, one-third in the last 15 years, one-third of all of the Lithuanian citizens have left Lithuania. And in some areas, it's 50%. So the freedom of movement is having the wrong effect for some countries. And one of the things would be that most countries trade with each other without having freedom of movement. So I would personally prefer to see, would say, freedom of work, but not freedom for people to just move countries because on various social welfare systems, they earn more than working in their own country. Because from a societal level, I think what we've been doing too much is looking at the European Union just from a finance level and an economic level, but actually the policies of the European Union are having a societal effect that is not good. So that it means that I'm a mom myself, that a lot of parents will say in the new member states in Eastern Europe, their children and grandchildren are now in countries and not with them. And in Ireland, because of the collapse in 2008 and 2009, we see that all our bricklayers and builders and nurses are scattered all over the world and not in Ireland. So that this freedom of movement is not working out. And that's one of the policies that if Ireland was independent, that we would be then able to have our own migration policy and, you know, encourage people to come here to work. But then if they're not working, to just make an arrangement that they maybe would have their welfare curtailed, you know?
Now, Dolores, before I let you go, there's a lot of arguments out there that you'll hear from people regarding our marine resources, that we have no rights over our fishing waters anymore, that, you know, French and Spanish trawlers can almost come into our harbours and fish our fish. We have no control over that. We have very little control over human rights and taxation and budget policy and all the rest. My last question to you, Dolores, is this. if and when that you were elected to represent Ireland South, of course you're going to be going there as an independent, but also as chairperson of the Irish Freedom Party. But while as an MEP, would you commit to still representing, you know, people who may have a differing view as yourself, but who need to be represented, like farmers, small and medium-sized enterprises, who need to be, you know, represented on the European level? Will you commit to represent them as well while, you know, furthering your own cause?
Yeah, I mean, of course. So, I mean, I come from a farm in Tipperary, in the valley of Slievenamon in Peacat, and you still have the farm, and my family are there, and my mum and my brothers and sisters are there. And, of course, I'm a small business owner as well. So I set up the company, and I've also been involved in setting up a company that's a spin-out in UCD in the area of early diagnosis. So, I mean, small businesses and farmers, they themselves have issues with the European Union. So it's not like everybody in Ireland is pro-EU. And I would, of course, try and make the regulations less onerous for farmers and for small business people, and to try and push back against some of the regulations that are not coherent with each other, so that farmers and small business owners don't spend, you know, a huge amount of their time trying to comply with regulations. And a lot of the issues of regulation actually are detrimental. Like, there are farming regulations where a farmer will get paid based on how many acres are actually usable in agriculture. So it means that farmers are often destroying wildlife habitats and their farms to make more acres so that they can get subsidies from the European Union. But of course, that is destroying the environment and wildlife sanctuaries within Ireland. So that a lot of these EU regulations, while farmers have to comply with them for them to get subsidies, are counterintuitive for the habitat and the environmental focus around the farm, which in turn is habitat for bees and wildlife. So I suppose I would totally represent farmers and small business and try and make the regulations, while we are still in the European Union, make more sense.
Well, Dolores, I wish you the very, very best. You mentioned earlier about your work in the whole autoimmune section of science. As somebody with MS, it's something of great interest to me, and maybe we'll have a chat again on a different topic to talk about your work in that area.
Exactly, and I'm just very happy to finish off. And one of the things why I'm involved is that in the EU and in Ireland, there's a lot of focus on the disease, you know, and giving drugs for the disease. But one of the other reasons why I'm in politics is to back up a little bit and trying to do health maintenance and look at aspects of, we'll say, like water and adverse events to treatment and medical prescriptions that make people perhaps sicker than they could be. So rather than spending money on drugs, I would prefer, you know, to look and try and keep people healthier. And you can actually reduce autoimmune disease by improving nutrition and making sure that our waters are clean and reducing allergies. So things that don't cost very much money, but actually would keep people healthier and then reduce the cost of medical interventions to the state.
Fascinating. Well, absolutely brilliant. Look, Dolores, I could talk to you forever, but time is against me. I wish you the very, very best on May 24th. And look, no matter what happens, we'll have you on again anyway to chat a bit more about the whole health side of things, which is something of great interest to listeners and to myself. But thanks for taking the time to talk to us here in CRY, and the very best of luck to you.
Pleasure to talk to you. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And there we had Dr. Dolores Cahill, who is a candidate for the European elections on May 24th, one of 23 candidates for the Ireland South constituency. Now, this is where it gets interesting, guys, because before the extension to Brexit, Ireland South was gaining an extra seat, as was Dublin. But now, because Britain will not be leaving until at the very earliest October, they have to contest the European election. So the question is now, what's going to happen, that extra seat?